Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready for this? Find us at ultimatesportstalk.com. So welcome to Gridiron Blitz. My name is Oscar Lopez alongside the lovely Erica Lynn Anderson at Pat Fence Girl 12. Erica, you on?
I'm here. Hello, everybody.
Awesome. So, Erica, we have a guest lined up today, Utah Falcons player and Louise Bean, and she'll be on in a couple minutes here to discuss the Utah Falcons season in the WFA, and then we go into a combine mode. So going forward up to the draft, you got some stuff going on at gridirongirls.org, right, with the combine?
We do, yeah. We've been tweeting all about it, and then I posted an article about, you know, if you don't understand the combine, kind of what it's for, combine 101. And then after the combine's over, Gridiron Girl will actually hand out awards. We do a post. It's kind of fun where we will just kind of go through and just do QC awards. They're kind of cool. So we'll be posting that in about a week or so. Other than that, we're just tweeting up a storm at gridirongirl.org so you can keep track of all the combine stuff.
Awesome. So any standouts so far since you've been viewing that, obviously, this whole week? Is there anything, anybody that stands out, one or two or three people that stand out in terms of positions?
You know, there's been some running backs. Their speed has just been insane. There's a running back from Kent State. It's Dry Archer or Dree Archer, D-R-I. He ran a 4.26 40, which... it's just insane. His speed is, you know, out there. Johnny Manziel ran, you know, a pretty impressive 40. You know, all eyes are on him right now, trying to see what he'll do. A.J. McCarron, I think, has had kind of made it his mission to show, kind of to shut everybody up. Everyone's being, I think, pretty, not, I don't want to say necessarily critical because that's a pretty negative word, but they're really watching that guy close to see kind of what he's doing. I think he's pretty determined to show everybody that, you know, he is as good as, you know, everybody thinks, you know, with the national championships he has. So, you know, he ran a 4.9-something 40, which is pretty decent, you know. And so, yeah, it's been fun to see all these kids that you kind of follow their college careers, and you get to see them put on a show for these NFL coaches. So, yeah,
that's
been cool.
Now, and going into the draft mode, so since you're keeping tabs on it, every week now going forward, we'll touch base on the combine, and then obviously, like to your point earlier, off the air, it's going to be interesting who teams franchise tag certain players, obviously because of cap room and bringing on the new squad players in. So it's going to be interesting in terms of, you know, the NFL teams as to how they start maneuvering everything. To prepare for obviously the training camp and pre-training camp, and then obviously into preseason mode. So we'll keep tabs on that. So it's gridirongirls.org for all the latest information on the combine, and you can also follow Erica at PatFanGirls12 as well for some of the updated tweets on those events. And the women's scene, before we get into our guests, the LNFA Femenina in Spain, week two of the season. It kicked off last on the 15th of February, and it was the Batadona Drax versus the La Rosa Back Demons, La Rosa Back Demons being the sub-champions of last year, and they beat up on the Drax 47-26. They were coming off an amazing win, 25-6 over Terraza Reds. The congratulations to the Terraza Reds, who rebound after week one. That was back on January 25th against Saragossa Mustangs, 24-18 win there. We also have the Barbera Rookies, which are the three-time champs, and the ONFA Feminina versus Barcelona Buffaloes. And they took care of the Buffaloes 32-6. We're looking at a differential of plus 74 for the Barbera Rookies. I need to just unscramble my words here. Barbera Rookies, after two games, they're up 74 points. So they're 2-0. The La Rosa Black Demons are 2-0. The former matchups from last season, and we get a rematch in week three coming up on March 22nd. The rematch is the last La Rosa Black Demons taking on the Barbera Rookies, which is the rematch from last year's final. So that's going to be interesting. As well as the Barcelona Buffaloes taking on the Terraza Reds, the Saragossa Mustangs taking on Batadona Drox. So the top standout in the league right now, statistics, and the statistics are actually fueled up at fieldgoal_EU, and you can go there as well, fieldgoal_EU. And the touchdown leaders are Laura Rodriguez from the Black Demons, 5 touchdowns. Alba Izquierdo from the Rookies, with 4 touchdowns, and Elizabeth Olias of the Reds as well. So we'll keep tabs on the league. You can find us on Twitter and on Facebook for all the action. And the next week, week 3 action in the LNFA Feminina in Spain is March 22nd. So you can follow them at fieldgoal_EU for the latest news on the European scene, as well as FNF_Spain, as well as FIFA_Spain for the latest on the newscast there. So check out our Twitter feed and our Facebook feed for the latest news there. We're going to bring on Luis Abin. She's a member of the Utah Falcons in our No Joke Football Huddle. And our No Joke Football Huddle is brought to you by Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties. And you can get leggings, tees, and hoodies. You can take 20% off any of the leggings on our shop. Use code SCARFLEGGING for 20% off. So let's bring on Luis Bean of the Utah Falcons. Luis, are you on?
Hey, good, thanks.
Awesome. Luis, you're on with Oscar Lopez and Erica Lynn Anderson.
Thanks.
Hello.
Great. Luis, tell us a little bit about the Utah Falcons, the season to start here, coming up in probably about 30 days or so, or less than 30 days, and tell us a little bit about what you guys are doing in the community and as well as your roster. And you were telling us off the air at this point before you came on, your roster is a very competitive roster, and you feel at this point that you guys are going to be in the mix?
Yeah, so we were created, to back up just a bit, football in Utah has been here for 5 years, and so we were created in June, and basically, you know, kind of like the American dream, it's a team based upon the next level of football here. So we currently have an owner and her husband, and she's a former player, and they are regular business owners in the community. So not only do they have a passion for football, but they have business experience. And then we have 10 or 11 coaches, with 5 or 6 of them with either current or previous high school football experience. Most of them have had women's coaching experience. I think we have about 15-plus years of that. We have 30-plus players on the roster that have previous football experience. Many of them came from the state of Utah from other teams, and several of them came from other states. And we have a couple 10-year vets. The longest player has played in Utah is 5 years, and I'm one of them. I play quarterback. And basically the team was formed to I'm trying to think of what makes us a little bit different maybe from all the other teams out there. Our head coach has been – I've been with him as he's been one of my coaches for the last 2 years. And so our head coach comes from the Air Force Academy. So we're built upon values similar to that. We have our own honor code. We have our own code of conduct. A lot of teams have code of conduct. We are independent. We are not part of the WFA. We'd like to be, but we're not. So one of these days. Anyway, so we have an 11-game schedule. We start in a month. Like I said, we have our own honor code committee on our team. Our coaches believe that to get the best out of a player physically, you got to get the best out of a player as a person. So there's some government of ourselves. Our coaches feel like sometimes in coaching, if they beat down the player, then the player will become submissive and more obedient or more likely to be a better player. And our coaches think that by empowering the player and giving them more leadership opportunities and more ability to rise up, and a team is more strong with 50 leaders, and granted, not everyone's the same type of leader, but that's the belief system on our team. So right now we have 49-50 players, with 30-plus of them having previous football experience. Like I said, we're not in the WFA, so we're not ranked. But I've been around, so I've been to All-Stars, and I've been to the national team tryouts, and I know other teams out there, and we would easily be a top 20 team out of both leagues. Most talented team I've played on.
Before I interrupt you, at this point, being not affiliated with neither of the major two leagues, is that something that you guys are planning on doing within the next season, or is this a test run for you guys, just a test season to see where you guys are in terms of a squad?
And then
aligning yourselves to maybe another to a league in the year two mode?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think our first choice would be the WFA. And so since there's another team here, the Blitz and the WFA, and you have to be within 60 miles. So, you know, at this point, the other two teams that exist here in Salt Lake are much, much smaller teams. And you know, it's just our team is just a real high level of football and a real high level of excellence and a real high level of character excellence expected. And I believe that people really want to adhere. When more is expected of them, then they want to be a better person and a better player. And so they invest more, you know, with their heart and soul and things like that. So for all those reasons, I love it. The other big thing that epitomizes our team is that we are tied to a lot of teams do charity work and things like that. Well, we have our own foundation. So the mascots, the professional team mascots here in the state of Utah, and several of the college mascots have a foundation. It's a charitable Miracles Mascot Foundation, and it's to raise money for terminally ill kids and their families to grant wishes for them. And so we're tethered with that, and so we are involved with their community efforts. Like one of our games this year is against the Seattle Majestics, and they're coming here. And it's called the Miracle Foundation, Mascot Miracles Foundation charity game. So, and football is really getting much more popular in the state of Utah. In fact, we're on a city pass where whoever has this city pass can come to our games for free. So it's really spreading. It's really, you know, we've been on the news. I mean, every team probably has some news spots, but we've been on the news not just for football, but for the charity work and the different things that are going on in that area. So, I mean, for example, the mascot from the universities here, I know who those guys are. They're great guys. The mascot from the Utah Jazz, the NBA team, I know who that guy is. He's a great guy. I've seen those guys without their mascot uniforms on, you know, so it's pretty cool. So those are the things that are important to me and to a lot of our players outside of just playing football. So,
now,
like I said,
Luis, on a competitive level, at this point, not affiliated with the league and not being ranked, how is that going to factor into year two in terms of making the decision? Because I know there's the WSFL as well as an option besides the WFA and the IWFL. So at this point, do you know if the owners are going to persuade over to one of the three leagues at this point for participating or for increasing the field of competitiveness?
Oh, I definitely think the intent is to be, and also for traveling reasons, to be, from what my understanding is to be in the WFA. But you know what, those are things that, you know, that's more stuff you'd have to ask the WFA and more ask our owner. But I mean, I think that's the big, you know, that's the biggest league, and it's got the most teams, so it's easier on your travel schedule. The IWFL has a lot more, you know, mid and eastern teams. So I'm not saying I'm not going to compare competitive level of footballness between teams. I just I've been around with the WFA. I've been in that league for 3 years, so I know what those teams are like. You know, I know some of the coaches, I know some of the players. So, I mean, I would love to be in the WFA.
Do you feel that the WFA is really the above the above standard, given that you do have the most noticeable names in the sport? I mean, given the USA football team, and given the two tournaments in the World Finals, you would have to probably give that league the nod, right, as the NFL of the women's game in the U.S. right now?
I think with my knowledge, I would say yes. I don't say I know everything about everything, but I'd say with my knowledge, I mean, come on, you know, the Chicago team's very good. Dallas was very good. San Diego's very good. Other teams have had their better years and in and out. Obviously, it's a situation where teams are always in flux a little bit. So I'm just excited to be a part of the team I am and to have the chance to still play football. And I would love to be in a league for reasons, you know, like having playoffs and stuff like that. But I think that since most girls are playing for the love of the game anyways, I love playing with my teammates. I love playing with our coaches. And, you know, for me, even if, you know, only one team wins the championship anyways, so I'm playing because I want to see how good of a quarterback I can be and how good of a team we can be and how good we can execute. And our goal is to be undefeated. So, you know, you can only measure yourself against, you know, those kind of things. So,
right. Now, you know, Luis, going into the schedule for you guys, was it specific in terms of who you wanted to match up against this year in terms of putting yourselves out there in terms of competitive state? I mean, you're looking at Seattle, who's coming off of a playoff run. You're taking on Nevada, who's been a pretty nice, top-notch team as well. So was it something that you and the players' feedback gave the owners and said, these are the squads that we probably should match up with, or was it just something that arrangements are made and that's the most possible opponent that you can get on the schedule so far?
Well, we have some of our teams are WFA, some of them are WSFL. I think one of them might be IWFL. I can't remember which one because I know Nevada was, you know, people switch leagues or whatever. So, I mean, for me, I'm always saying to myself, hey, I'd love to go play Chicago, but, you know, you don't get to do that, and that's pretty far away. And I'd love to play San Diego, and I'd love to play War Angels, and I'd love to play, you know, the best teams out there. But, you know, it's like any team in the NCAA does. You got to make sure your schedule is kind of evenly balanced, and our owner and our head coach spend a lot of time working on that with other teams and stuff like that. So, I trust that they put together the best schedule possible. I've played Nevada before. I've played Seattle before. Those are fun teams to play. So I'm happy they're on our schedule.
Awesome. So, Luis, tell us a little bit about you and before we go, and then obviously the Utah Falcons of where the fans can engage with them. But let's let the fans know about you in terms of your journey in the women's game and what brought you to Utah currently.
Okay, so I'm married and I have 3 kids, so we live in Utah, just how it is. So I've been playing 5 years. I played quarterback the whole time. Played some defense the first couple of years. So now all I do is play quarterback. We actually run a combination of triple option, spread option, fast-paced, short passing game, maybe similar to passing game kind of like 49ers or Kansas City Chiefs, something like that. But our triple option is the triple option part is pure Air Force, Georgia Tech, Service Academies kind of thing. We have a lot of speed, and so we use those motifs. I have loved football since I was a little girl. Came to Utah, jumped on it. Opportunity of a lifetime, chance of a lifetime. I've played on 2 other teams in Utah. The Blitz came here first. We were not very good my first year. I think we didn't even win a game. The Jinx came along. That was the next step. That's the next level, you know, like anything in America. you know, whatever most competitive kind of wins out. So I played over there for a little while, a couple years, 2 or 3 years, and that was a great experience. And then the Falcons happened, and I mean, it's just the next level. And for me, I'm not satisfied. I just have to have more. I want to be better. And, you know, you can't play forever, and girls don't get paid. So if you're paying to play, you might as well have the most challenge you can. So that's why, to me, I'm thinking, hey, let's go play San Diego. Hey, let's go play Chicago. Even if you were to lose, you know, what does that tell me about myself if I choose to have someone that's not very good? So.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a fun 2014 for you guys, given the schedule. Like you said, it's kind of a non-pro college, recreational feel to it, where you guys are going to dive into it full force and kind of just, you know, gauge yourselves, which is kind of a different element altogether, especially when you go from a rigid schedule and you go, this is our schedule for the year, and this is our goal. And this year, I don't think, given the fact that you're not going to be in the ranking mode, it really does give you an edge to grow and then maybe come up off the blocks the next season in a more viable state. So, Luis, can you tell us a little bit of where the fans can engage with the Utah Falcons? Is it on Facebook, on Twitter? You guys have an Instagram. Where are you guys on social media and on the web?
Okay, so we're on Facebook, and it's Utah Falcons with a Z. And like I said, our owners are business. They have tons of business experience. So probably one of the biggest advantages we've had to being a new team is just their business experience, the marketing, the advertising. So, I mean, in 6 months, we have 2,500 followers on Facebook. And that's really good. And, you know, like I said, we're associated with the foundation. So we're out in the community doing things. You know, we've been on TV. You know, just those kind of things that are great. You can also go to UtahFalcons.com, once again with a Z, and we have all the player bios up, and, you know, each player has their own donation link, those kind of things. I know we're on Twitter, but I can't tell you because I don't know how it works because I don't tweet.
Yeah, on Twitter you're at Utah Falcons with the Z as well, so you on Twitter,
okay,
at Utah Falcons.
And I know we're on Instagram, but I don't know how that works either. So, you know, we're all those things. And, I mean, even the other years that I've been playing in Utah, we've played in front of anywhere from 200 to 1,000 fans. Like I said, it really is because Utah only has one professional sport, and it's the basketball team. And everything else is either AAA or semi-pro. So people are kind of thinking this women's football is pretty cool. And we have a good-looking team, too. So, you know, that doesn't hurt in the world of women. So,
it doesn't hurt for marketing purposes either to draw in the
yep.
crowd. So I will
yep.
give you guys a bonus for that.
Thanks.
So, Luis, we will look forward to maybe diving in with you, if it's okay, maybe as you get into the season, maybe April or May, because I know that's the heartfelt of the season. The WFA kicks off in April, the IWFL uh-huh. as well. And then we got the Maritime and the women, Western Canadian Leagues kick off in May. So we're on a full swing mode. Right now we're following the Spanish League up in Spain. They're in full mode up to, I believe, it's going to be, I think, May, it's March, and then April, and then May 3rd. They end in May 3rd, and that's when the Maritime and the WWCFL kick off. So if you're inclined, we'll welcome you back maybe in May, and as soon as the you know, the season kicks off and see what everybody's going on, and we'd love to get your opinions on maybe the WFA and the IWFL slates as they kick into gear within a couple weeks. Is that okay with you?
That'd be great. And, hey, thanks for everything you guys do for the sport and all those things.
Awesome. So, Luis, thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it. We look forward to another conversation in the future, and we wish the Utah Falcons successes in this season that you guys have put together without a league mode, and we look forward to the competitive edge on the field with the, like you said, the stellar 53-man squad.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Have a great Sunday. Enjoy it, and thanks for making the time for us. We really appreciate it.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Awesome. So that was Luis Bean from the Utah Falcons, and they're not affiliated with the WFA or the IWFL, but they are playing the competitive teams in those leagues, as well as the WSFL football. So those are the top three leagues in the country. So, Erica, any thoughts on Luis? And they're not playing in a league, but they obviously have the heart and they want to kind of build up their own schedule, kind of like a college feel, like she said.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool that, you know, that she talked about how they have their own, you know, code of honor and, you know, all of that stuff. That's really great to hear just because you don't hear a lot of it in competitive sports. And so to hear her talk about that and really emphasize it, I think is such a great thing, and that they're involved in the community, that they're really giving, they're really becoming people that girls can look up to, you know, that are involved in athletics and kind of show them, you know, how it should be when you're competing. And I just think that's really great. So I love Air Force.
And they have
an
edge because, you know, like she said, they only have one pro team in the whole state, which is the Utah Jazz in basketball. So three teams in the state, that's got to be good for them in terms of, you know, as soon as everything gets going in the seasons, I'm pretty sure that, you know, the community is going to get behind the three teams. I mean, the women's football is exciting. If you've ever gone to a game, you fall in love with it because of the fact that it's just, you know, it's full heart play. They're not playing for dollars.
Yeah.
They're just playing for the love of the game.
Which is awesome, which is really, like you said, that you have the heart like that is awesome. And it does make the sport more fun to watch. And I love how she talked about Air Force because I love watching Air Force's college football team. I love watching them. They're a lot of fun. So that's really cool that she said they kind of mimic that style of play. So
we are going to be on Utah. We're going to be on a gridiron blitz mode till the end of the month, probably the 1st of April. Starting in April, we might go to an hour format. Just depends on the season. Probably the second week of April, we'll go into an hour format. But other than that, it'll be the 30-minute mock on this. What we will dive into on Facebook and Twitter, you can follow us on there at Gridiron Beauty. You can follow Erica at gridirongirls.org for the latest Combine and NFL updates as well. And you can also follow at fieldgoal_EU for the latest news on the LNFA Femenina from Spain, as well as our partner now at Women's Gridiron. That is the Twitter feed for all the latest news on the Australian scene going into 2014. Right now they're doing state teams. Congratulations to those that made the teams. And going forward, you're going to have a lot of competitive football in Australia as they're building up to the 2017 World Championship title game. Erica, anything to hang out there before we go in terms of news and your rant? Is your rant up or any rants up today?
No, you know, I haven't done one in a bit. I've kind of been focusing on, you know, off-season stuff with the combine and the draft coming up and everything. You know, there hasn't been a lot to rant about. So I should find something here shortly, though. Doesn't usually take too much. But, yeah, just check back with at grandgirl.org for all the latest, you know, combine NFL stuff, and then at GridironGirl.org on Twitter, and you can check out my Twitter page at PatsFanGirl12.
All right, and before we go, we want to congratulate our good friend and amazing athlete, Jen Welker. You can find her on our Twitter feed or on our Facebook page. Jen Welker, the first non-kicker, regular position, running back, debuted in the regular season of the Indoor Football League with the Texas Revolution this past weekend, and she is an amazing athlete. She's still on the roster. We are hoping that she will score a touchdown soon here within the next couple weeks of the season. But congratulations to Jen Welker. You can follow her at jwelker47, and you can also get her blog at usafootball.com on the women's tab. So congratulations to Jen Welker for a win. The Texas Revs beat up on the CR Titans in the opener of the regular season, and she gets her first win as a regular season as well. She got a preseason win before that. So congratulations to her, and we look forward to covering her week to week as the IFL season starts. So for Erica Lynn Anderson with Oscar Lopez, we will see you next week right here on Gridiron Beauty's Blitz, and you can find our podcast at blogtalkradio.com as well as ultimatesportstalk.com. Have a great weekend. And we look forward to next Sunday when we talk about NFL Combine and a lot more news of the women's scene. Have a great Sunday.
Have a great week, everybody.